Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Hopefully I can get through this a little better than I feel that it feels like. Sometimes I feel all forhuddled and can't get anything straight, so we'll see what happens. Oh, shoot. All right, I've titled this message, Which Tree Will You Be? And I know it'd be about a little over a month ago, July, that Curtis preached a message, and it was called Rooted and Grounded in God's Love. And I was already thinking sort of this message when he preached that, and I was like, oh no, there goes that one. But he didn't totally go where I was planning on going, so I think it'll be okay. But I've been thinking about this for a while. For some reason, I get into some weird hobbies or whatever, and the last few years I've been messing around with doing little bonsai trees, just trying to grow trees to make it look like a big tree but small. So, and for some reason, in my lifetime, I've always been intrigued by small stuff instead of big stuff like normal guys. So I'm not sure what the deal is with that. I was going to just try to go through a few different types of trees and kind of compare them with our lives. And as I was studying through this, I'm still going through what I was starting to do, but it kind of turned direction and ends up being a little bit different at the end. So hopefully you can bear with me as I go through this. The first one I'd like to talk about is the palm tree. It's a fast-growing tree, and what's interesting about that, it grows about 3 to 10 inches per year if the conditions are good. And it can grow, some of them can grow up to over 100 feet. And in thinking about that, you would think somehow it would need some type of good foundation, but the roots only grow down to about 12 to 36 inches in a ball, and they just stay small. And all the roots stay narrow as well, which I guess is why sometimes when you go to different beaches, I know we've been down to Hunting Island area, and they've got a place that you can walk up through the beach, and you see remnants of storm debris and a lot of palm trees just blown over, knocked over, all over the place. They may have cleaned that up by now, I don't know, but I know the year that we went, we saw a bunch of that. And I was thinking about that as I was studying through this. Are we like those palm trees? Do we study God's word just enough to get by and to grow tall and look pretty on the beach or in church? But as soon as the first storm of life comes through, it knocks us over because we're not fully grounded and rooted in God's word. To go along with that, I'd like to read Proverbs 10:25. And you can turn that out if you care to. If not, just listen. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. And just thinking of that, you know, do we stand firm in God's word? Do we study his word and know his word deep enough that we can stand through the storms? I'd also like to read, it's kind of the same passage as what Curtis had read, which was a month or two ago, but it doesn't hurt to read it again, is in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." So in that, especially in verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. We need to be that tree that kind of sucks in, if you will, the word of God, and to be able to grow and prosper from that. The next tree I'd like to talk about is the oak tree. The oak tree has a deeper root system. It actually has a tap root, which typically grows from 3 to 5 feet beneath the trunk, and then has a bunch of lateral roots that spread out. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it sometimes goes farther than the branches of the tree itself, so it actually spreads out pretty good. The lateral roots only grow about 18 inches below the surface, so without that tap root, it doesn't really have much depth to the root system. And from what I was reading, sometimes the oak trees, which I think you see time and again different places, they're susceptible to disease and end up hollowing out and getting hollow. They still look good on the outside. They look like a beautiful big oak tree. And they end up either bugs or some type of disease eats the center out, and eventually they break and they fall. And, how much are we like those trees that we allow, instead of feeding on God's word, we allow the world to feed the things of this world to us, and we don't nurture ourselves from that. We end up hollowing out, and kind of like this tree here, falling over and becoming pretty much useless, or at least firewood, be burned up. Or do we sometimes, are we a tree that somebody just leans up against, like in the one picture, and falls asleep because we're not feeding them God's word and digging into God's word? In John 15:5-6, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." And then Isaiah 1:29-31. "You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks in which you have delighted. You will be disgraced because of the gardens that you have chosen. You will be like an oak with fading leaves, like a garden without water. The mighty man will become tender and his work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire. So in other words, if we don't feed on God's word and grow with those good nutrients that we need from God's word, we'll end up being firewood. All right, the next tree I'd like to talk about a little bit is the maple. Most of those grow anywhere from 33 to 148 feet, and they end up looking pretty good, but the roots only are about 12 to 18 inches deep and cover about 25 feet of a distance. So it doesn't seem like a whole lot of foundation for that either. It can still, I do find them pretty interesting, especially in the fall. They get really pretty, and you can see here there's some color, and then I had to throw that in there, just showing the color of the leaves. But just looking good from the outside there again, not always being able to withstand storms that come their way. Are we like that tree that looks really good on the outside, or do we take a deeper root system and stand firm in God's word? Along with that, the bonsai tree I have down here is a maple as well, and I don't know if anybody's heard of it before, but bonsai is a Japanese art of kind of taking a regular tree when they're small and then just trimming it and keeping it small, but making it look like the big tree that it's supposed to be. And I was thinking about this, I guess it's kind of where it started, as I was messing around with it. The purpose of the tree is to grow and to become big and strong and create shade for people and, you know, different things like that. But as far as with a bonsai type thing, you use a shallow pot or a tray, and you actually trim the roots and keep it confined to that tray. And in doing that, it keeps the tree small. And as I was thinking about that, do we let the world trim our roots? Do we let the things of life feed those roots to where all we become is just a small little tree that maybe looks good, but that's all it's for? Another thing that you do is trim the top and just keep it all trimmed back and make it look good that way. And to shape it the way you want to, you actually wrap like a wire or something around it, and then you can bend the branches and shape it the way you want to do it. And as I was thinking of that, do we let the world do all that for us, or do we allow God to shape us the way he wants us to be? 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm going to turn to that real quick. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And then Romans 2:12. I'm sorry, 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And, you know, as you're thinking about growing in his will, we need to continue to study in God's Word, and like was mentioned already, rightly dividing the word of truth, or handling the word of truth correctly. So those are the three trees that I kind of picked out to, I guess, for the negative part, maybe. I don't know. But one tree that I did find really interesting was the sequoia. And I'm sure probably some of you have heard how they grow and what their root systems are like. But I wanted to compare that with a Christian. The sequoia, even though they can reach heights of 300 to 400 feet, they do not have a tap root. Their root system only grows about 12 to 14 feet deep. So compared to that 300 to 400 feet high, it's not very deep. But they spread up to over an acre to capture the greatest amount of surface moisture. They can contain about 90,000 cubic feet of soil and can live to an estimated 1,800 to 2,700 years. And the biggest thing that I find interesting in their system, especially their root system, the reason they don't get blown over in storms is because of their roots intertwining with each other. So they spread over this acre, but I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think you ever see any of them alone. You always see a forest of them. And as far as I know, they're only in one area of the world. But when you see a sequoia, they're always standing with other sequoias, and they mesh their roots together, which I'm sure Junior could tell you, sometimes that can be a pain if you're trying to clear land. So I know a lot of this sparkleberry and different stuff like that does the same thing, but I can't imagine trying to clear some land with these sequoias. That would be a big project. So what was interesting to me is how they work together at holding each other up, at standing together, and even through the storms, they can withstand those storms even as tall as they are, because they work together to hold each other up. And that's what I'd like to compare to in the Christian life. I'm not sure how many different messages I've done, but it seems like I always tend to go to the same thing again. And I know the one time I talked about helping each other or standing with each other. But I guess maybe that's one thing I just, it's for myself, is to be there for others and to be able to build each other up. I was going to say they live in a community, which is what we do. And without community, without each other, it's easy to just get depressed, to feel alone, and to actually prosper in Christ. But with each other's help, we can do that. Joshua 1:8. See if I can turn to that real quick. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Like the roots of the sequoia, work together with the church to be able to stand against the storms that the world sends our way. Proverbs 10:25, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. And then Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then Hebrews 24, 25. I'm sorry, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. No wonder I couldn't find it. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I was thinking of this at, like over COVID, it seemed like so many people, you know, they wouldn't get together. I do appreciate how we came to back together as quickly as we did. And it seems like they've used that as an excuse now to stay apart from each other. And the churches are emptier. Hopefully that's changing. But I just want to reiterate the importance of us all working together as a unit, as a body of Christ. And I'm just so thankful for God's word and that we can dig in and be rooted in his word and be able to withstand the storms of life that come through. For the last scripture, I'd like to read Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And I'd like to use this as a prayer of closing. So maybe we'll go ahead and stand for prayer. Brian, do you have a song? Or I'm sorry, Scott, do you have a song? Okay, number 170 in the Christian Hymnary. And when you find that, you can stand. And then I'll go ahead and read this afterwards as a prayer for our departure. I'm sorry, I can read it now and then we'll sing. I'm sorry. All right, let's pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
I am the one.